Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. It's healing class. As always, I want us to know, be assured of the truth and reality that God is here.
Amen.
He's in this place, he's in this room this morning. In Pa, his presence is so mighty, so awesome. And it behoves us, it's up to us to be set to take advantage of that. It's not a once in a while thing. How many know that?
Yeah.
It's not iffy, maybe, maybe not. Mm-mm. It's an assurance. Amen. Always. Always with you. Why? Because he's in you. But when we come together like this, it's just awesome to be in community, to be in communion, and just to be able to see his power, his presence, and the effulgence of his glory just blow out.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. We're going to start out with a quick word of prayer. Father, I just thank you for this time. I thank you for your power and presence in this place this morning. I thank you, Lord, for the healings represented in this room and manifestations of healing represented here this morning. I thank you, Lord, for each and every individual as recipients of that which you fully provided.
Yes.
I thank you for this time and all honor down to your holy name in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's healing class, and just before I continue on from last week, we had what I believe was an awesome comment along the lines of what we were speaking about. I'm going to project some. Thank you, Ms. Elkins. And I'd like Gail. Gail, you have a moment just to, go ahead and just share.
Okay.
Gail shared a little bit last week, but I wanted her to just expand very briefly on that as we continue on this morning.
Mm-hmm. We had talked about, if you weren't here, getting a support from the body if you were going through a challenge. And there was something I thought about and a testimony of my own that I wanted to share with you. Briefly, the background is that my son, who is a non-believer, was diagnosed with a gallstone, just one, right at the opening, and he was in extreme pain from that. So we went to the doctor, and that was my first time of telling a physician that I believed God was going to be our healer. So that was a big step for me. I was barely new to grace at the time. Had the ultrasound, a couple more appointments. I wasn't allowed back in. So in the car, I don't know what they said in that appointment, but he broke down. And I said, do you trust me? And he said, yeah, but it's not about that. I said, yes, it is. You trust my belief. You trust my belief in God that he's going to be our healer. And I just briefly explained to him about Jesus and his love and what he'd done on the cross. So during this whole process, I had gone to three different women in the body who I thought as pillars, you know, godly women, experienced, and asked their counsel, like I was telling you, to get support. Well, I got three different responses, and they were all good, but some were a little contradictory. So here, this is now in my head, you know, what do I do this? Do I do this? Do I do that? And I did have one friend that just that emailed me scriptures and did declarations over Eric that just, it was great. I mean, it took me to new heights, and it kept my faith strong. So God's blessings on her. But it's all in my head about, you know, what are you going to do? Are you going to follow this? Are you going to do that? And then I've got Eric, you know, staring at me as I'm speaking over his body. And I'm thinking, I wonder what he's thinking about this. He must think I'm crazy. This is so bizarre. Because, you know, non-believer. So I finally had to, we weren't seeing results. Anyway, come to say that. And I had to sit down and talk to myself and say, okay, Gail, what are you going to stand on? You know the word.
Amen.
Are you going to go with this? Are you going to listen to them? Are you going to look at Eric and have his, you know, thoughts in your head? And I just really had to focus on the word, what it was telling me, my authority, mm-hmm. and what I knew was possible, because I'd seen healings in my own body. And so I would pray over him daily. I would speak over him, but I had to just, like, shut off his head. I had to just talk to his body. So I'm just telling the gallstone, you know, to do this and to do that. And I would even stand outside his room when he was sleeping at night and just speak the word over him. So, praise God, come to find out, the last ultrasound, he went in for the test results, and he came out and he said, The doctor said I'll see you in a year at your next checkup.
Amen.
So I don't know what happened to that, and I don't care, but it's gone, and he's
praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen.
You know, and that's a powerful segue to what we're going into this morning. Last week, we talked about a timely reminder. And just in a quick nutshell, I've said that in order to be able to carry out or fully enjoy what we talk about, what we teach here at Healing School, the three areas or aspect in healing class, number one, who's got it?
How to receive.
How to receive healing.
Mm-hmm.
Two?
How to minister healing to others.
How to minister healing to ourselves.
That's so the third one is ministering healings. What's in the middle? How to, yes?
Walk in divine
how to walk. Yeah, how to walk in healing and divine health. Absolutely. In order to be effective in these three areas, how that it's important to understand, believe, appreciate, and be steeped in the truth and reality that healing is in the atonement.
Right.
Isaiah 53. We went through that. We've been in there for a couple of weeks now, a couple of, you know, messages. And it's important to have this anchored in your heart. If you're going to be effective, if you're going to see the truth and reality of the things of which we speak manifest in your life, not just once in a while, but that's your mainstay because that's who you are, the healed of the Lord, based on what he did on the cross. And we spoke about how that becomes a reality in your life. The moment you believed in Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so that's where we were. This morning, I want to just move on a little bit more and just talk about simply something I titled for this class, Understanding Authority. Understanding Authority. Now, as you will all know, authority is not something that can be dissected in one class, taught in one class, because it's such a huge topic. It's awesome, but it's so easy by the Spirit of God. Okay? And so I'm going to try to break this down just very simplified today. I'm not going to get into all the aspects, but I'm just going to hit on one or two key points that I know will bless us and will aid us in our walk with the Lord. Okay? Does that sound good?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Praise God. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Matthew in chapter 9. Touched about this briefly a couple of weeks ago. I'm going to breeze through the first couple of verses and then just get into the meat of it. Verse 35. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Then Jesus went about all cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Not some, not a few, but what? All right, every disease. Next verse. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And I mentioned at the time, I said that Jesus, while he walked the face of the earth, while he was here on earth, had what I called or termed a challenge. And that challenge, I kind of likened to or try to point at it with, from the perspective of time and place. Time and place. What does that mean? He just made a statement here. He said, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And people looked at me queer on that day, that Sunday. I'm like, Jesus had a challenge. Time and place. What do I mean by that? Remember I said, while he did what? Walked the face of the earth.
Oh, well, you just answered your own question.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
He had a challenge because it was his time to be physically present on the earth. And it says in Scripture that they're not accepted in their own town. They're, you know, and it was while he was on earth. So
mm-hmm.
That was the challenge.
That's part of it. Who can amplify that some more? Thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
I want to add that Jesus Christ was limited by actually being in a physical body. So he was in certain location, certain place, at certain time. So there was space and time involved with his ministration. But he said it was expedient that he left so that all of us can.
So, thank you, Foma. So, you see, we've seen from this passage and from a couple of weeks ago how that he went about doing good, healing what? As Acts 10:38 puts it in a nutshell. Okay? Went about doing good, doing what? Healing what? All that were oppressed of the devil. It says what? God was with him. Okay? But as far as time and location, where he was where he ministered. Okay? And he healed all. And his desire was not just for, okay, people in a certain locality, but for what?
Everyone
to be healed. But he couldn't, in a manner of speaking, do that while he was here physically on earth. Look at next verse. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send the laborers into his harvest.
Amen.
Pray the Lord of the harvest. And that's not to look at that and say, okay, I'm going to sit down and pray for the Lord to send others out so that you know that you sitting there looking at me, I actually called out and sent out to display this power, to share this love, okay, and to get what? Many. What? Healed. Free from what holds them bound. How do I know? First, in the first capacity, he set this expectation on his disciples. To prime them. Get them ready. Get them set for the work. To cause their zeal for that to be primed. They've seen the master do work all manner of healings, healing all who were oppressed. And he's priming them. How do I know that? Next verse. How many know? I was going to go into the originals, but there's no need for that. No time for that. But look at the next verse, which would be the next chapter. Chapter 10.
Mm-hmm.
And when he had called, immediately following that, says, and when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to do what? To cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Again, not some, not a few, but all. Then he called, then Bible goes on to list the 12. And then let's jump over to verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Now I'm going to go back up. 10 and 1. We'll get right back to verse 6. Let's take this from the top. He gave them what?
Power.
That word, power, in the Greek, as you all know, is the word exousia. That's authority. E-X-O-U-S-I-A. That's the word exousia in the Greek, and it's the word that means authority. And it doesn't just mean authority alone. It's the word that means power in authority.
Amen.
It's the word that means power of authority. Power of authority. The right, the authority, the right to exercise power. Jesus gave to them. And then told them the whole gamut or how they're supposed to exercise this in outworking. He sent them out expressly, having given them what? Authority. Let's see this in another setting. The same expression, same event, so to speak. Let's look at Luke in chapter 9. Luke in chapter 9. The first two verses, and then verse 6. Then he called his 12 disciples. This is how Luke puts it. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority. power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. Amen. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Mm-hmm. Verse 6. So they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere.
Glory.
To my mind, friends, I don't know about you, but when I contemplate, when I look at authority and when I study that out and meditate on that, to my mind, I can't readily give credence to authority where there's no power. That is, at the back of authority, friends, is always what?
Power.
At the back of authority is always power, whichever way you look at it. And that's why authority means authority. You're in that position, right? You're in that place, right? You're in that position whereby if you speak a word in authority, what happens? What goes with that? Teresa?
You force obedience.
I like that. Can you share that? Share that. I want them to hear it.
You force obedience.
You force obedience.
Force.
You force. You force it. You force obedience. That is, where there's authority, authority compels obedience. It's like that centurion where it says, oh, you don't need to, you know, come over. Just say the word. Because I myself, I'm someone who, what? Under authority. And I say to this one, go, and then what happens? And I say to that one, come, and then what happens? Just as it were, a snapshot in there. How? Yes, Teresa.
I didn't want to interrupt. And then I
would
go.
No, go ahead. Now you.
It's so sorry.
That's okay.
As you're talking, I keep remembering. My dad was a cop from the age of 19 until he retired. And when he died, I found a shoebox. It was full of his badges. And he had he was the sheriff. So it was a sheriff badge. And he was a chief of narcotics. There was that badge. And he was homicide as well. So he had all these badges. But after he died, he was no longer wearing that badge, so he had no authority. And then it made me think of people like cops that might come to your door, they don't have a badge, or scams. There's nothing behind them. But I just kept thinking of that little box, shoebox full of sheriff badges and detective badges. And there was such authority. Because I'll tell you something, when my dad said something, you forced obedience. So, anyway.
Amen.
Yeah.
All right.
Just a little example.
It's like that vehicle pulls up behind you, and with that thing going, now whether you like it or not, what do you got to do? What do you have to do? Sorry, pardon my expression. You got to just.
Unless you were 16 with your first speeding ticket, you found out you were the sheriff's daughter.
Oh, okay. Now you're talking, Teresa.
exactly what it is.
Now, friends, Jesus delegated his authority to his disciples clearly to show that he and his kingdom were superior to and superior over the kingdom of darkness, every power of darkness, every sign or symptom which that kingdom wields. He delegated that. And we hear that often concerning us, the believer, delegated authority. That's true. Well, we're going to go ahead and see. I'm going to just add one simple point to it this morning as a takeaway for us, just to be able to understand who we are and what we wield as we face things in the area of, as it relates to healing, in the area of maybe a symptom, maybe a disease. You mentioned gallstones, a heart issue. Might be a hearing issue, something to do with the ears. It might be a knee complaint. Okay? It might be a cancerous growth of some sort. Okay? It might even be an injury. Things that stare us in the face, there's a manner of approach. And she touched on that lightly, but there's just one key point out I'm going to add this morning as we go on. But Jesus said, freely you have received what? Freely give. And this is the thrust that I'm sharing with us. In this class, in this past couple classes, how that there's such a blessedness that is attached to walking in obedience as far as in the doing, in the ministering grace to others, in the ministering healing to others, that you don't have to worry about yourself because, one, in the first place, do you see yourself as healed? Do you see yourself as having received healing? So if you see yourself as having received healing, what does that ask of you or call forth from you? It says freely you have received.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Freely give. Right. If you see yourself, we talk about healing, we've talked about it, and we've been teaching this for years now. So we're at that point. If you see yourself, if you see, understand, appreciate Isaiah 53, 1 Peter 2, 24 as being true, as being real. If you see yourself as healed, as the healed of the Lord, I see myself as the healed of the Lord, then that call upon me then to do what? To minister the same to others. Now, and I'm adding and I'm saying, whether you see that in your body, whether you sense that or not, you are healed and he's giving you the power and the authority to do what? To minister. To share that, to freely give. Because most times we're thinking about us. I'm thinking about me, how I get mine. And I shared a couple of testimonies how that, with me having issues health-wise, I'm ministering to someone else, and that person receives manifestation of healing. And before I walk away, I've received my manifestation of healing as well.
Amen.
Not once, not twice. And when I walked out of that class, several people came to me and said, oh, this is true, this is real. I have this. Why?
What happened? Yeah.
Why? Because you're healed. But do you recognize that you are healed?
Mm-hmm.
In that place of relationship with love and love with Jesus, he points our hearts to people. He points our hearts to others.
Yes. Yes.
So that we're not self-focused, self-centered. He points us out to others.
Amen.
And I'm sharing and I'm saying and I'm encouraging, as you minister this life to others, you yourself get nourished.
Amen.
Amen.
And see change in your own body. Amen.
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 All right. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Have you received? Yes. John 1:16, a passage I love, and I relate that. I've seen that as healing in my life, and I run with it. Of his fullness I have received. Can you say that? Of his fullness,
of his fullness
I have received.
I have received.
Of his fullness,
of his fullness
I have received.
I have received.
It goes on to say grace upon grace, and the different versions say that in different ways, but this includes the grace of healing. I have received my healing. Was Jesus sick?
No.
Was Jesus ill?
No.
Was it sickly?
No.
No. So the fullness I've received of him is fullness indeed.
Amen.
Okay? So that was just as an aside. Now, here's a key point. I have heard it said, please pay attention, that when it comes to authority, when it comes to this designation or what Jesus said to his disciples, as far as authority over demons and all sickness and all disease, that this related to his disciples and not you as a person and not you as a child of God. I've heard it said that you don't have any authority.
No.
Blake?
It's not true. Mark 11:23 says otherwise.
Praise God. Hallelujah. He said that's not true, and he cited Mark 11:23.
Mark 16 from 15 down.
Yes, we're going there. Praise God. No, but why is this important, friends? And that's why this is a class. My heart is for each and every one of us to be solid in this. And you know what? It's the foundations that are key. The foundation is what is key. What do you believe? What do you believe? Because when the trials come, when those things come, whether for you personally or loved one or whatever it is, that determines how you stand.
Amen.
It does.
What you truly believe determines how you stand. So it's good to know the truth and to be established in the present truth.
That's right.
okay, to be established in this truth. And that's why I'm spending time in these classes to, I don't care about, you know, covering so much ground, but in bits, just so that we can get it. And if you get it, trust me, even what I haven't said, when you go out there, Holy Ghost on the inside reveals things to you, and you're just like, you're like dynamite, because that's the way I see each and every one of us. And the overwhelming sense the Lord just keeps showing me is the more we look beyond ourselves,
amen,
the more we look beyond ourselves and just walk in obedience as far as the doing, oh my. It's like a bursting forth. It's like an avalanche, bursting forth. Not just for all those who are recipients of His power and His glory, His goodness, but also you yourself in your own life. Just for a moment, not to look at you. Focus on Him. He points you to others, and then you are taken care of in the area of receiving a manifestation of what that situation or circumstance or what it may be. Amen. He said, not so. I think that's one of the greatest lies the devil ever told as far as not having authority. But here's what I want us to look at as it concerns this. John 14:12. And we turn there. John in chapter 14. John in chapter 14. We cite it ever so often. I want us to look into it this morning real briefly. Jesus speaking. Most assuredly, I say to you, I'm reading from the King James Version, New King James Version. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Amen. He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works. And you know, I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say different things just to be able to explain, oh, what he meant in there, what he was not saying, what Jesus was not saying. So Jesus was not saying, oh, that you have power. Jesus was not saying you have authority. Jesus was not saying, oh, the miracles he did, you will do, and greater in the sense of miracles. But more like, oh, and they've come up with so many. I don't even pay attention, because my heart is to be focused on what? On truth. So I'm not interested in what you're saying. What did he say? He said greater works. And I like the Amplified version. The Amplified in this regard, John 14 and verse 12. It says, in extent, greater works, in extent and in outreach, E-X-T-E-N-T, E-X-T-E-N-T, greater works and outreach, which points to what I was saying earlier. Jesus healed all, then he sent out his disciples, verse 12, and then later on he sent out 70, as Luke says, and guess what? For our time, in reference to us, in relation to us, guess what? We ourselves are also sent out.
Amen.
Amen. It relates to us. When we talk about power, when we talk about authority, and let's see that. Let's see that in Bible. Mark in chapter 16. Mark, a popular passage, and so much has been said about it. I'm going to touch on a few key points. Let's take it from 15. I was going to jump to 17, but we can take it from a couple of verses earlier. And he said to them, Jesus speaking, after appearing to the 11, he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. 16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. 17. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name.
I believe.
These signs will follow who?
Me that believe.
Me that believe.
Me that believe.
So he told the disciples, go out and preach the gospel. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone everywhere, as another puts it. He who believes will be saved. Let's concentrate on that. Let's not worry about those who do not believe. It says, and these signs will follow
they that believe.
That's right.
In my name. Here's how this comes to me. And this is how I'd like to share this. You know, sometimes we look at it, look into your Bibles, verse 17, and we see, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. But here's what one of the things I want to share this morning. The way I see when I get in there and with the Holy Ghost, with the Holy Spirit alive in me, when I look at that, it says, these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast. They will speak. What does it say? Let's look at it. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will. Another version says, and King James, I believe, says, and they shall recover. They will recover. All of this, friends, being directed to who? He who believes. That's universal. So, also that by implication means she who believes. In case you want to start, if we split hairs, so to speak. But it's for every believer. Not chasing after the signs, but he says the signs will follow. On the basis of what? Which also is the basis of what? Sonship.
Amen.
So here's what I'm getting at, friends. As it concerns authority, one thing I want us to know, as it relates to the believer, and we'll get into this before we wrap, as it relates to the person, man, woman, boy or girl, born again, saved, born from above, born anew, recreated, you are in Christ. Okay? You are in Christ. Now, being in Christ, belonging to Christ, being in Christ, is where your authority derives from. So, it's delegated to the disciples, delegated, but to the man, woman, boy, girl, born again. It's not only delegated, it's, if I can use the word, it's a right. It's designated. It's a designated right that attaches to sonship.
Amen.
It's a designated right.
Inheritance. Inheritance.
That's it.
Inheritance.
That's it.
That attaches.
Yes.
So it's not just, because here's how we look at it. Oh, I have authority because I received it. As in where authority as a standalone, authority as something that is given, that I can just give. Yes, it's given, but guess what? He didn't just give that in isolation. Because who's alive in you?
Christ.
Who's on the inside of you?
Jesus.
And it's two ways, friends. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be where?
In Christ.
You are in Christ. By virtue of rebirth, by virtue of being born again, by virtue of being saved, you are in Christ.
Amen.
And that being in Christ is itself a position of what?
Authority.
Oh my God, I can preach for hours, friends, on this. I can go from page to page in this book and show you verse after verse after verse that speaks on this, that touches on this, that brings this out so live, so clearly. My word, those things are flying in my eye. I don't even know where to, how to try to convey this. So it's not just something you just, it's not like it was with respect to the disciples, friends. It's much more by virtue of his death, his resurrection, and glorious ascension. Ephesians 2:6, guess what? They sit it together where? Together, you're sitting together in
heavenly places.
Yes. Sitting together with him in heavenly places, sitting in Christ Jesus. And next, it says far above all. It didn't say some principalities. Above all principalities and powers. So you, that's your plane. That's your plane of existence. In Christ Jesus, far above. They came back saying, oh, all demons, they're subject to us in your name. They were using his name. Mm-hmm. Guess what? Some people try to use his name in Acts, was it Acts 11? Mm-hmm. And we know what the seven sons of
Sceva.
And we know what happened to them. So it's not just about, oh, going about banding his name. Are you in him?
That's right.
Are you in his name? Is his name your template? Is that how he sees you?
Your location.
Mm-hmm. In Christ.
You're launching out God. Glory.
This authority is no joke, friends.
It's not.
That's why when we see those foul things, displays, all those things, so many names too numerous to mention, diseases, infirmities, sicknesses, I look to the word and I'm seeing how that he healed all and every. I'm seeing the words all. I'm seeing the words every. I'm seeing those words that are kind of total in nature, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow. So what's he called us to? Let me try and wrap this home. John 1:12. Let's look into our Bibles. And I praise God. I thank God it's your Bible.
Amen.
So you're looking into it and you're saying, oh, well, he's saying, you know, he's just saying something. He's just, you know, no. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Oh, thank you, Jesus. John 1. Let's take it from verse 11. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Speaking about Jesus, concerning Jesus, verse 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the what?
Authority.
I'm reading from the New King James. I see how we're divided on that. Praise God. We're divided, but we're not divided. So it says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right, New King James says, to become children of God to those who believe in his name. Look at the designation. Look how it defines these people who believe in his name. Who were born, next verse, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, of parents, coming together, whichever way. He says, but born of what? But of God. He gave the right. To as many as believe, he gave the right. That's the word. The reason why that was going on in class was because the same word right in that passage is the same word we touched on earlier, exousia. And in this context, it means authority.
Power.
And it also means what?
Power. Power.
So as in derived by just some time at some stage, he says, oh, you know what? I really feel like Jack needs some authority at this time. So I'm just going to give him some authority so that he can do something. And once that's done, authority can melt, dissipate, disappear, whatever. No, sir. It's not flippant. It's based on who you are.
Amen.
And who's on the inside of you.
Amen.
His life, his power, his ability. Amen?
Amen.
So you don't ever have to, in that moment when sometimes you feel weak, you know those moments when you just want to crawl under the bed because you know how that thing hits. You just feel like, oh, you know what, I don't think I want to deal with it. I just want to crawl and, you know, cover my head. In those moments, and you can realize inherent in you is this life, is this authority. And you understand your position. You assume that position, not only in standing, but in your heart, so that you can speak life. Mm-hmm. You can speak death to that thing, and then life to your body on that area. And Gail just gave us a good example with that testimony. That's why I wanted her to share it this morning. And I know that if I were to go around this room, there'll be testimonies as well in that regard.
Yes.
Yes.
Ask for us to be pastors?
Yeah, if you have one. I said Gail gave us a good one. Did you have one?
I have one.
Okay. You want to share quick? 1 minute?
Okay.
Go ahead. Stand up. Thank you.
Greg Moore, our instructor, came to the school, gave a talk. I wasn't there. It's Monday. On Wednesday, I had a problem with my intestines, sharp pain, almost the whole day. And I was watching the link the teacher sent us. The lady gave a prophetic word. She said, someone has intestine problem, infections. And she asked the people there. No one responded to her because no one had a problem. The sister said her grandson somewhere has a problem. But anyway, as soon as I heard that, I said, it's me. As soon as she said that it's me, I claim it. I receive it.
Amen.
So while she was praying my hand, I put it here, I declared the pain is gone.
Amen.
This is for me.
Amen.
So all the time I put my hand, there was no pain. And after that, it's gone.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. God. Hallelujah. So hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
The she gave the prophetic
in
another place on Monday. I got healing at home.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen.
Praise God.
Send me the link.
Friends, what we're talking about isn't going into too much rhetoric as far as using so many words.
Yes.
Crafting it. You know, we want to get into, let me craft it with my words so that it's eloquent, so that it's nice and go in the name of Jesus.
That's right.
Diabetes. Mm-hmm. You die. You're dead now. I'm healed. I'm whole.
Right now.
Prostate issues. Healed by the power of God. In the name of Jesus. You decree and declare. You speak life. It's not. When you recognize, realize what you have, who you are, over every power of the enemy itself.
Amen.
Come on now.
Pastor, just briefly, incidentally, without taking our time, incidentally, spiritual authority was the theme of my mission this year, and what I found out is that many of us as believers really don't understand what it means to be born again, because that's exactly what you just explained from John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. What actually happened to us, spiritually speaking, not physically speaking. Physically speaking, we may not have experienced anything, but spiritually speaking, there was a transformation.
Shift.
You talked about, being in Christ, because that's Ephesians 2:6. That's when it happened. Yeah. Once you get born again, whereas our dead spirit was under Satan or whatever happens, it gets now in Christ, up there in heavenly places where Christ is.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the sonship is so important, because that's sonship right.
Yes.
It's actually what gives us that authority.
Yes.
Even
yes.
without reading it, because
yes.
of who we are. It's just like you're the daughter or son of a president. you just act like one.
Amen.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Praise,
praise God.
That's right.
In wrapping this up, and we're going to... Prayer team members, would you come? Would you come up at this time? Here it is, friends. Healing. It's tied to sonship. We got that from last week, where we were able to pinpoint that. At the point you got saved, Isaiah 53, 1 Peter 2, 24 became a reality in your life. So healing is tied to sonship, correct?
Yes.
Today, we're also saying authority is also tied to what?
Sonship.
Because at the point you got saved, that's when you got what? You didn't get it in frickles and trickles. You got what? The whole package.
Yes.
Healing, authority, all of it.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, Father, I just thank you for this time. I thank you, Father, for these ones. I just thank you, Lord, for the encouragement of scriptures. I just thank you, Father, for healing. and hopeful of healing in this room, healing manifestation in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, sweet Spirit of living God. Every soul impacted by your truth, by the truth. Thank you, Jesus, because of the truth. Indeed, by your stripes, we were healed.
Amen.
And we latch on to that in our hearts. Amen. And make good progress thereby to your praise and glory. Amen. Ministering life even to others. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 You're here, you need prayer.
Praise God.
Concerning a condition, a situation. He's joined up with one of our team members here, and they're set and ready by the power of God to just share life with you. It's grace.
Amen.
Don't be bashful. Don't be shy or be in fear. Just join up, and it'll be quick and easy. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
My God is faithful.